hit the go live. There you go. Turning your Bibles to chapter 10 of the book of Judges. And we're going to be looking here at this next judge, a man by the name of Jephthah. And we're given a little bit of understanding here what took place before Jephthah is called as judge here in chapter 10. And we looked, the first part of chapter 10 on Wednesday, is it makes mention of these next two judges. You have, after Abimelech's death, you have Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, is the next judge, a man of Issachar, and he judged 21 years. Then Jair, a Gileadite, he would reign 22 years as judge there in Israel. We're not told any particular problems that arose during their judgeship. It just says that they judged for a period of time and they died, and that was it. It don't tell us that there was any particular enemies that were coming against them at that time. But we come to verse 6 of chapter 10, and that's where we stop on Wednesday. It tells us the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. Now this is a change that took place here. Because before, when they had the idolatry, when they would fall into the particular idolatry that they were in, they were still worshiping or trying to worship God. They were still trying to hang on to him, but at the same time worshiping these other gods as well. Here, at this particular junction, they've left him out altogether. And the only thing they're focused on are the false gods, the idols around them, and they are calling on them at this point. And they cease to call upon the Lord. And so this is where they're at right now. This is how deep in their sin Israel has gone, that they had departed from God altogether at this point. And it says the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And so you have the Amorites and the Philistines particularly coming against them at this point. And the Philistines would be a nation that would plague them all the way up into the reign of David. Throughout the reign of Saul, they struggled with the Philistines that were on every side of them. It would be Goliath was part of the Philistine army when David would come along there with Saul and would slay Goliath on the battlefield there. So this is one of those empires that would continue to plague Israel over the next several years. And so the Lord sells them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And it says, in that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. So you have they sold them into the hands of the Amorites and the Philistines, and here they're coming in, attacking inland inside of Israel, among Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, and all of just a constant battles going on as they would come in and raid and so on. And this apostasy of Israel, you have their total forsaking of the Lord and God's chastening on them as his people, as he would bring these nations against them. Verse 10, it tells us, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee. So now they're crying out to him. They left off crying out to the Lord in verse 6 there. But now they are calling out to him again. And they are calling out for his help here in verse number 10. And so they cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam." And so they're repenting here for what they've done. They're crying out to the Lord. They're acknowledging their sin. And the Lord reminds them of all the deliverances He'd given to them before. All the times that He had delivered them and brought them out of these same particular situations. And this time He tells them, no, not going to do it, not yet. And so He tells them, verse number 11, it says, "The Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more." And so He tells them, no, I'm not going to do it. But the children of Israel were serious about their repentance. They were serious about being so far from the Lord, and they are wanting His help. And so He says, verse 14, that the Lord's still speaking to him here. He says, "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." Go cry to them. Those are the ones you chose to lead you. Those are the ones you chose to follow. Those are the ones you chose to worship. Those are the ones you chose to sacrifice to. Call out to them and let them deliver you. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. And so they truly repented. They turned from those other gods. They served the Lord only. They dedicated themselves to Him, and He was grieved for the misery that they were in because of their sin. And so verse 17 says, "The children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the children of, or the people rather, and princes of Gilead said one to another, 'What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead.'" And so Ammon come in and camped against them, particularly there in Gilead. Israel assembled themselves and camped in Mizpah, ready to fight against Ammon and their armies that would come. And they're crying out there in Gilead, "Who's going to lead us? Who's going to come up and deliver us again? We need a judge now to deliver us. This is the way it's happened every other time. So who is it that's going to come in and lead us?" And we go into chapter 11, and we go back in time just a little bit because we're getting the history of this guy by the name of Jephthah. And the scripture tells us here concerning him, he was a Gileadite. It says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor." He had proven himself in battle before. He was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And so his daddy's name was Gilead, and he was the son of a harlot, so he was not one of his father's right children, I guess is the word to use to be nice here. He's not one from a marriage, but rather he was from the son of a harlot. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up and they thrust out Jephthah. So as his brothers grew up, they didn't want Jephthah around. He was the son of a harlot. They didn't want him being among them, even though he was a mighty man of valor himself, they thrust him out and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art a son of a strange woman. And Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And so Jephthah, as he runs from his brothers for fear of them, he leaves out, and while he's gone, while he is living there in the land of Tob, he has these vain guys come up, so he kind of becomes a leader among them, and so he becomes kind of a mob boss, if you will, or a crime family. He's the one that's kind of leading them out there, these vain guys, and they're following after him. So that tells us where how his heart was turned in the sense of what he was in. And so he kind of becomes their mob boss, and they're following after him, and they're in the land of Tob. While this is going on, chapter 10 happens, and they've got Ammon coming in, and they're sold into slavery there to the Philistines, and they're crying out, somebody's got to come lead us, somebody's got to come help us, somebody's got to come take this fight to the Ammonites there. And so it tells us in verse 4, it came to pass in process of time, the children of Ammon made war against Israel, and it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. So they go find Jephthah, mighty man of valor. They need him back now. They run him off before, but now they need him back. And so they go find him, one who is rejected by his brethren. They go and find him. We see that a lot in Scripture, don't we? We see those that are rejected by their brethren, and the results are quite different when we see those different illustrations given to us there. And it all is in what God is accomplishing in the lives of these individuals that makes these stories different in those scenarios. But we see this often a case in given to us in the Scriptures. And so this one who's rejected by his brethren is brought back, or they go to him rather, to try to bring him back in verse 5. And it was so when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. Then they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight against the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you coming to me now when you are in distress? Wait a minute. Y'all didn't care nothing about me before. You didn't like me. You didn't want me around. And now here you come down here and tell me, hey, we want you to come home and lead us even. And so he says, verse 8, and the elders, or they say rather, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? You, wait a minute now. You want me to come home. You run me off the first time. Now you want me to come home and lead you. When, if the Lord were to give us the victory and we run Ammon out, you going to run me off again? Are you going to make me your head? Is that what, I mean, I go from totally rejected by you to now being leader of you all? Is that what you're telling me that you're doing? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And so there in Mizpah, they made a covenant before the Lord that they would do just that, that they would make him captain and leader over them, Lord give them victory, to make Jephthah their judge, leader over them, and they made that pact or made that covenant before the Lord. And they rehearsed these words before the Lord of the terms of this agreement before him there. And then we read Jephthah sent messengers. After this took place, he's made captain. Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore us lands again peaceably." Now, boy, oh boy, we've seen this over and over and over again. It's going on right now, even, in the land of Israel. 1948, Israel was established as a nation again, in the, what is it, the Balfour treatment, or treaty, rather, that they made at the end of World War II there, and come to pass in 1948, Israel's given back their land there in was Canaan, now Israel. They were given that land back. Immediately after Israel was given possession of the land, war broke out. And they got all the nations around them coming against fight Israel. Israel fights them. The Lord gives them a victory there. No doubt it was Him that gave them the victory. And they conquer all this land around them as well. Well, then all these people come to the nations of the treaties, those that made the treaties at the time, and they say, "Hey, look, that's not fair. They come in here, and yeah, we attack them, and they beat us. Yeah, but now they took our land, and we want our land back." And Israel says, "I can have your land back. Just leave us alone." And so Israel gives their land back to them. 1967, it happens again. The Six-Day War. And they had those nations around them come against them again. They conquer, they take over all of the Sinai Peninsula there and all the way down to the borders of Egypt, take part of Syria there from them and Lebanon areas and in the Six-Day War. And then after that's fought in those 6 days, and it looked like it was going to be, and it looked like Israel was going to be wiped off the map in the 67 Six-Day War. And 6 days, Israel had whipped them. And then they all go to the United Nations at this time and say, "Oh, it's not fair. Israel whipped us and took our land away, and we want our land back." And Israel says, "All right, have your land. You have it back. Leave us alone." And this has happened every time that these nations attack Israel. They come in, but Israel defeats them, takes the land from them, and ends up giving it back to them. Well, here, this started here. You have Ammon coming in here and said, "It's not fair. You all came in here from Egypt and took over everything and took our land from us and we want it back." And they didn't have the United Nations to complain to, so they came directly to Israel at this point. So they said, "We want our land back. It's not fair. You all did this to us." And they, of course, as is the case most often, people forget the history of what really did happen. And Jephthah just so happens, whether this was something that was rehearsed to him as a lad that he just simply knew, something he was taught in school or whatever the case may have been, to know the history of Israel, or whether the Lord gave him this, I don't know. It doesn't tell us here, but he gives the correct history and gives the details of the correct history about what took place and how it happened. And so his details are very good here. And it's recounting what took place in Deuteronomy, recounting what took place in the book of Numbers as these very things are described for us. Excuse me. It says, Jephthah sent messengers again, verse 14, unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, "Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness under the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, "Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land." But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto, and in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. So when they were coming up through, Moses asked permission, "Hey, can we pass through your land?" And they said, "No, you ain't coming in our land. We don't know what you people are going to do. We don't trust you. You bunch of rabble coming out of Egypt. We don't want you to come up here." And so they said, "You just stay away from us." And so as they were dwelling in Kadesh, trying to get into the promised land across the Jordan there, it says, verse number 18, "Then they went along through the wilderness, compassed the land of Edom, the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab." He said, when we came up here, we didn't go there because y'all didn't want us to, and so we skirted around. We went around the borders of your land, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto him, "Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land unto my place." But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through the coast, but Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. Well, Sihon said, "No, I ain't letting you come through. In fact, I'm just going to come out there and fight you." And so he came out and fought against them. And it says, "The Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country, and they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel had dispossessed the Amorites from before the people of Israel, and shouldest thou possess it?" Jephthah's argument to him is, "Look, we were trying to come by peacefully and asked to pass through. You all refused to let us pass through, and then you came out and fought against us, and then coming out to fight against us, the Lord gave us the victory over it, and the Lord took away your land. It wasn't us. The Lord took it away. He's the one who dispossessed you. And now you say you want to have it back. He's the one who took it from you." And so he goes on to say, he says, so, verse 22 says, "And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. And now the Lord God of Israel had dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Will not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess?" Wait a minute. What your God gives you to possess, you possess it. What my God gives us to possess, we're going to possess it. And he says, if Chemosh gave it to you, we would begrudge you. So it says, "Will not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whosoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess." He said, it's not us that's taking your property. God took away your property. "And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon in her towns, and in Aroer in her towns, and all the cities that be along by the coast of Arnon 300 years, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time?" Wait a minute. He says, this has been the case for 300 years now. And he said, y'all didn't say nothing about it for. And now suddenly it's a matter. Now suddenly it needs to be taken care of. Now it's desperate that you need this back now. After 300 years it has been this way since the Lord put you out of the land. "Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah to Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And so Gilead moves quickly. He comes into place ready to fight this battle. And this of course, was told to us in the book of Deuteronomy. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 2, we can see this very time frame that he's talking about here. What took place there as Israel was coming into the land to begin with, as they're ready to cross over the Jordan to come into the land, is that God was moving them into position to come into the land. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 9, it tells us there, "And the Lord said unto me," as Moses saying, repeating these things here, "the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession." In verse 19 of the same passage it says, "When thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession." And then you go over to Numbers. Hang on just a second, I've got the wrong... Yeah, Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And he tells here about the very thing that took place here, where Sion came out to fight against them. The very thing Jephthah is telling them here. Numbers 21, verse 21. It says, "The Lord sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sion would not suffer Israel to pass through his border, but Sion gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness, and he came unto Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon, and all the villages thereof." And so they're claiming this land, the children of Ammon claiming this land, again, that was a part of the Amorites' land. And Jephthah said, "Look, God's the one who gave us that. He dispossessed the Amorites. He kicked them out. He's the one who gave us that land, and you all are trying to claim it now. You're trying to run us off and claiming, and after 300 years, now suddenly you're trying to claim something that the Lord has given us. If it's yours, if it be like you, and Kemosh give you the land, then you come and take it. You have it, if that's the case. We'll not begrudge you, but we're going to take what the Lord's given us." And so they get ready for battle. Now we come to verse 30, verse number 30, and we see a unique situation here. And we'll hold off on this and look to this on Wednesday, of Jephthah's vow here. Jephthah makes a vow to the Lord. And this is one of the reasons that the Lord warns us about making vows. Let our yea be yea and our nay, nay. That's important, as the Lord tells us, that's how we ought to live our lives. But Jephthah makes a deal here. And his deal is that he would give as a burnt sacrifice the first thing that comes out of his house if the Lord were to give him the victory. And he would give the first thing he saw from his house that he would give as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. And, of course, as the story is told to us there, his daughter is the first thing that comes out to him when he gets home, his only daughter. And so we'll look at a unique, a very dark thing, which I don't, honestly, I don't know the full answer of. I don't know exactly what took place here And I've read commentators from both sides of the coin, and I don't think nobody knows. God knows what exactly took place, but we'll take a look at that on Wednesday night as we consider Jephthah's vow here. But it, again, it just shows the distance that the children of Israel are from the Lord at this time, as they are in a very dark place. Even though they are now turned to the Lord, they are now serving Him, they've departed from these other gods, but there's still a lot of darkness in the land. And so we see this as just one of those stories that particularly are disturbing when we read these things. And then you get over with Samson chapter 13 through chapter 16, we see further the wickedness of Samson himself there, and the apostasy of the people during that time. And then it gets darker even after you get into those chapters, chapter 17 on through chapter 21 of the rest of this particular book here. And the stories that we get there are just, they're hodgepodge stories just kind of thrown in to tell us, okay, this is happening, this happened, and this happened, and something very kind of disturbing story. One of my professors in college, I had we studied through the book of Judges, and he divided this book up into three sections. The first is apathy, chapter 1 and 2. And then you have apostasy, chapters 3 through 16, which is the section we are in right now. And then the last one from chapter 17 through chapter 21 is anarchy. And this is where they did what was right in their own eyes. They no longer were seeking the Lord, no longer seeing what He would have. They were just doing what they thought they ought to do. And it is sadly, truly, a picture of modern day Christianity, even in our day, where there are so many that do not care what this says. They like the idea of God, they like the idea of the worship of Him, they like the idea of naming His name, but they're going to do what they want to do. They're not concerned with what this says. They're not concerned with living according to His Word, just what feels good to them. And it's exactly what was taking place in the book of Judges at that time as well, doing what was right in their own eyes. And so we'll look at Jephthah's vow come Wednesday night, Lord willing. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed now.